first day I saw Mary as she was walking down the streets in high school, I thought, Mom, she's one of the prettiest girls in the whole town. And I just fell head over heels in love with her. Now, so the first attraction was a physical attraction. But after I got to know Mary, I soon came to find out that here's a young girl who is compassionate and kind and of moral purity, something which I did not see in all the girls of Nazareth. So this is the woman I wanted to be the mother of my children. And so arrangements were made with her father that a wedding would take place. Somebody here down the road, that is. And in the meantime, that was giving me an opportunity to prepare my home for my future wife. I am working in my shop, and Mary comes by to visit, and she does frequently. And she says, sweetheart? And I say, yes, dear. And she says, I'm going to visit my cousin Elizabeth. So this is not something that I want to see happen. But yet she had her parents' permission, and she goes to visit Elizabeth. The days that passed into the weeks, months, and finally, after the third month, I'm at the shop and I'm working, and I hear a knock at the door. And there stands Mary's father. And I say, well, come on in. So he comes in and he says, Joseph, I have some good news. Yes, what is that? Mary is home. Well, immediately I start taking off my apron because I'm going to go into the house and say, I'm for it. I haven't seen it for 3 months. And then he says, Joseph, I have some bad news. She's pregnant. No, this cannot be. You don't understand. We had taken a vow to remain pure to each other until our wedding day. We were going to share our first kiss on the day that we would be married. This cannot be happening. I close our shop. I go home. I have mixed emotions about Mary being unfaithful. I can't believe it. And at the same time, under Jewish law, it required that she be stoned to death. And that I could not do. I still love this woman. I know. A quiet divorce. That's what we got to do. We're just in this marriage contract that we've entered into. We'll take quiet divorce, and it will save Mary shame and embarrassment. So that night, as I'm trying to get some sleep, over and over my mind, stoning divorce, stoning divorce. Finally, I do fall asleep. And that very morning, an angel appears to me in a dream. And he says, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Oh, what a relief. How do you spell relief? In my case, it was J-E-S-U-S. Because I was so relieved to hear the good news that Mary had not been unfaithful to me. And I was just rejoicing, but who's going to believe it? Who would believe such a report as that? Well, I did. So I immediately go over to Mary's house, and I bring her home with me, and we are living together there in Nazareth. The months go by quickly, and very shortly our first son is going to be born. I'm in the shop working. I look across the street. There's a Roman soldier tacking something up on the wall. And I go over to take a look at it. The decree from Caesar Augustus stating that all the world should be taxed. That meant that I would need to go back to Bethlehem, the home of my ancestors, to enroll in this census for the purpose of collecting taxes. Oh, the government can certainly ruin our best plans. I go home, I talk to Mary, and I say, "Sweetheart," and she says, "Yes, honey." So, "Sweetheart, I have some bad news. It's going to be necessary for me to go to Bethlehem." Now, this is an 80-mile journey, so you're not going. You do understand that. We're going to stay here. Family and friends will help you to help see you through this first childbirth. And so, Mary, as kind and gentle as she is, and sometimes she was argumentative, she insists on going, and I must put my foot down. You understand that? So the next day, we both leave for Bethlehem. I packed the donkey up with the food and supplies. Again, this trip is 80 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. I need to make sure, in various conditions, that we have plenty of food for the nutrition that she needs. We finally arrive in Bethlehem, and I visit some of my family that I haven't seen for quite a number of years. And the reason why I visit is, hopefully they'll put us up for the night so we don't have to spend money in a hotel, which we don't really have. Right? But all my family homes are full. The only hotel in Bethlehem with a nice pretty arbitrary plant at the entrance is full. But thankfully we were able to find a place, a stable behind the inn up on the hillside where we could have a restful night. But that's it. All that walking, Mary had an easy childbirth, and I blame. I had delivered animals before, never children. So I helped my wife to wrap our son in his swaddling clothes. We place him in a cattle trough. Oh, it doesn't sound like a manger, doesn't it? We place him in a manger. And we are just kind of settled down. Both of us are relaxing. And I hear a commotion out on the hillside. A whole group of shepherds, probably four or five, they're coming towards where we are at the stable. And I'm a little bit concerned, because the shepherds weren't quite the nice shepherds as in older times with David being a shepherd. Most of them had a rather bad reputation, released from jail, should have been in jail. And so I stand at the front entrance because I want to protect my wife and son. And they're just all excited, shepherd talking. And I said, "Greetings, fellas, what can I do for you?" And they said, "Oh, mister," said, "you won't believe us. We were guarding our sheep in the pasture, and all of a sudden an angel appeared to us." I was afraid. They were afraid. Okay. But the angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For to you this day is born in the city of Bethlehem a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And it didn't stop there. Then there was a multitude of heavenly hosts. Then there was a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And we made haste to come here to see this thing which the angel had talked about. I invited them into the stable, and they spent some time adoring our child and saying, "Oh, how cute he is." And I said, "You can't not take that." And he goes, "Take that to the mother." And so they depart, and I choose to remain in Bethlehem. There are several reasons. Probably one, well, it was a beautiful little town. People were so friendly. Just a nice little community like this that we have here. And second, I couldn't stand to see Mary embarrassed when people come up and say, "You know, she's pregnant." I mean, she's not married yet. She claims to be a pure little girl, but she hasn't been the little girl that most people think that she is. That was difficult for her to handle. You understand that? And so I choose to remain in Bethlehem. Also, in 8 days, we were to take Jesus to Jerusalem for the rite of circumcision and to give him his name. And it's a lot easier to walk 8 miles than to walk 80 miles to do that. And then 32 days after that, we would go back to Jerusalem for Mary's purification rite, at which time, because we were poor, not well off financially, we used as a sacrifice 2 turtle doves. Things are going well for us in Bethlehem. My business is picking up, succeeding, and probably about a year and a half has passed, I guess, and I'm busy in the house. Jesus is playing on the floor. He hasn't reached the turn of twos yet, but he's been through it by day. Mary's out in the kitchen while I'm roasting some chestnuts by the fire. She's out in the kitchen making my favorite peanut butter cookies for people to come. And again, you're knocking at the door. So I come over and open the door, and my goodness, outside is about 15, at least a dozen, don't want to exaggerate, well-dressed men. And I asked for an explanation why they're here, how we can help them. And they explained to me that about 2 years ago, they saw a supernatural light in the sky, which according to a prophecy that Daniel had given years earlier, signified that the kingdom of Judah was going to be born. So they traveled, they had come to Jerusalem, did not find the kingdom of Judah, was instructed that it would be born in Bethlehem, and here we are. So. And so I invite them in, and they come into the house. No one was there. They come into the house where Mary is, and the young child, and they go right over to Jesus, and they began to worship him. It didn't stop there. Then they opened up some gifts. Did you have some gifts to open up this Christmas? Do what you want. Well, do what you did there, I don't know. They opened up their treasures. And my goodness, I was shocked. Gold, frankincense, myrrh, and how unworthy I felt to receive such expensive gifts as this. Little did I know how handy that would come in just a matter of hours. But the men left our house, and that night I was awakened in a dream, and an angel said, "Joseph, arise, take the young mother and the child, and flee to Egypt, for Herod desires to kill your son." So immediately, I get up, pack up the donkey, and off we go this time to Egypt. 60-mile trip, not quite as bad as 80, but yet in some ways more difficult, because Jesus is now just going how to walk, and learn how to walk. Just learning how to walk, and so oftentimes we have to take turns carrying him. But we finally made it to Egypt, and the treasures that the wise men gave us were so handy for us to be able to financially afford the trip and to be able to find a place to stay while massacre all the baby boys in Bethlehem, 2 years old and younger. Mary was heartbroken. She knew most of these mothers. Our son Jesus, they were his playmates. And how could somebody be so wicked and cruel? And yet, I know today we ask ourselves that same question. How could somebody be so wicked and cruel to take life as though it had no meaning? An angel appears to me in the dream again. Joseph, arise. That's the young mother and the child. And go back to Israel. For those who sought the young child's life are there. I thought that was good news. I was anxious to go back to Israel. I missed my hometown. So we were making the 69th journey back, and news reaches me that Herod's son is now on the throne. I thought, oh no. Believe me, the tree didn't fall too far from the tree. And so I knew how evil and cruel he was. And God, I think, sensed the concern I had. Sometimes I pray about things. And so an angel spoke to me and said, go to Galilee. I thought, Galilee? That's where I started from. Because Nazareth is located in Galilee. So we went back and settled in Nazareth. And of course, that helped fulfill some scripture, which said that my son would be called a Nazarene. Little did I know, I was helping Mary to wrap our baby boy in swaddling clothes. At 33 years after his birth, others would be wrapping him in linen cloth, because he had given his life, as his name said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you for this Christmas season of the year that you have given me the opportunity, O God, to come and connect the pieces of the puzzle in Matthew chapter 1-2 with Luke 1-2. We thank you for gifts that we have received from family and loved ones. And dear Father, we take time at this point to thank you for the greatest gift of all. For God so loved the world that he gave Jesus. That whosoever believeth in him, his death, burial, and resurrection, will not perish in hell, but will have eternal life in heaven. Thank you for that gift. Lord, it's made available to each of us. May we receive it and let it become a part of our lives. In your precious, wonderful name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.